You know, Kevin's been crushing it, so I'm a huge fan. And, you know, any given Sunday, you know, so, you know, he's got my support. Right, Kevin?
Right.
Yeah, Kevin Harvick and I are buddies.
I'm his 3-inch tall friend.
Yeah. He's a lot bigger in person.
So why don't you talk about what you were doing out here?
So Mobile One Annual Protection. So these guys are on the road, and they were test driving a car that's using Mobile One oil. And they're on a 20,000-mile journey across the country, and they stopped here after 5,000 miles to check the oil to see where we're at. So it looks pretty good. I mean, we have another 15,000 miles to go.
A long ways.
It's a long ways, Kevin. Do you think you and I could do that?
It'd be a stressful trip. Where do you think we'd run out of things to talk about?
No, I think we have to have a good soundtrack is important.
Where would you start? Where would you start?
As far as what part of the
country?
Where
would you want to start?
I'd come to your house with the car.
Good. That'd be convenient.
Pick you up.
Yeah.
And then drive wherever to here.
We'll
come
see,
back to Sonoma.
Where do you live?
I live in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, so you wouldn't have to drive far. I was going to say, if you lived in California, you could drive the first 3,000 miles by yourself. And you can meet me, and then...
That's a lonely trip, Kevin.
That is a lonely trip.
And to make it more interesting, you should take this little boy Keelan along. I mean, he'll be clean.
Oh, Keelan would love it.
Yeah, we should do that.
We'd run out of iPad battery pretty quick.
With the charger up.
You know how many times we'd hear, Dad, are we there yet? How much longer?
Yeah, maybe we should rethink
In
this.
3 hours, right. I think Delaney and I counted like 75 times that we got asked. I can imagine 20,000 miles.
Yeah, I don't have kids yet, so.
Yeah, it changes.
It does. It changes
You'll
things.
Have car seats and Cheerios and.
I think we need a bigger car.
Ants in your back seat
ants
from all the
pants.
Food.
Yeah.
Trust me, ants in your pants.
That's where that comes from, I guess.
You'll have the ants in your hands feeling when you get that tingle down your side of after you've told them 5,000 times to do something and you're like, all right, what do I do next? You're so mad.
Toddles and tingling, huh? Toddlers and tingling.
Yeah.
You getting all the choice information, guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you've got the basics of it, right? We stopped here at 5,000 miles to check the oil, and they've got 15,000 miles to go.
Yeah, these two brave souls are driving across the country, and we met them here to check the oil to make sure things are going right for them, and it seems like it's going great. So they have another 15 under their belt. We wish them luck, and we're jealous that we can't go along with them. But
if you're feeling really lazy, Yoshi will bring you some gas so you don't have to go to the gas station.
Yoshi will take care of business. If you run out of gas at home, they'll come to your house and fill you up.
Good deal.
Yeah. Bob wants to break it down to serious.
Back to the race, right?
No, Bob, I don't think it would be more difficult just because of the fact that, actually, you know what? I think it would because of the fact that I don't think you'd want to drive 20,000 miles. Like, where do you go?
Yeah, I mean,
you got to really plan it out to go 20,000 miles.
If you're going to the moon. Like,
that's right.
How much is 20,000 miles?
Yeah, so I know that I'm going to come into this corner every lap, and I'm going to turn right there at that bridge and downshift right after it and hit the curb.
Yeah, so, like, driving a race is, you know what you're doing for the length of time you're out
there.
For 3 hours.
We wouldn't.
No.
Because I'm pretty sure that you and I would not have a very good plan.
We would get lost, but that's the beauty about travel, right? These guys are traveling across country. They're putting the oil to test.
That's right.
And, but the thing about a race, you know where you're going. You know how far you're going. These guys don't know what they're doing.
No.
They're just driving west.
So would you read the map? I mean, can you
Claire, nobody reads a map anymore.
All right, can you do
Google? Do you have an atlas? Do you have an atlas? Well, do you have a road atlas? Do you still own
one?
What
I could do is I could tell you in your ear.
Yeah.
We'd wear headphones, and we'll pretend as if we're in a race.
I think that's a good plan.
Well, would you navigate? You could use your.
I would probably have to drive on this trip, just because of the fact that I'm not very good at navigating.
Great idea.
I'm a great backseat driver.
I'm a great
and
wingman.
It would get tense quick. See, so I'd rather drive, and you could be the wingman.
And I'll do all the talking.
That's right.
And you bring the food.
I'll bring the food. Oh yeah, trunk full of food.
We'd have to have a food stop plan.
Chilling and grilling.
That's right. Maybe we could get Jimmy John's to deliver to us on the road.
Jimmy John's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everywhere we go.
There you go.
We'll go to every Jimmy John's around the country.
That's right.
Ask the question about the race now, just for a second. This track has so many different winners, very few repeat winners. What makes this so difficult?
I think you'll see a repeat winner this time. I think that stage weight racing has taken a little bit of the strategy piece out of it. There is strategy. Obviously, last year for us, we played to get no stage points. But the piece of strategy that it takes out is you know when the caution is going to fly. So you know at those two stages that the caution is going to fly at that particular lap. So your strategy is kind of dictated one way or the other. You're either going to pit before the stage ends or you're going to run it to the end and get the point. So it's, you know, in those two sections of the race, you know, and the strategy, you really only have, you know, one pit stop window, maybe two at the end, depending on how many sets of tires you have left, because tires are obviously very important here as far as speed. And so you have to manage your tires in the beginning. But depending upon how many tires you have left, you might stop once, and if the caution falls correctly in the first stage, and you know, once or twice at the end, depending upon the sets left.
This place is great for restarts, isn't it?
I just learned so much right there.
Great for, yeah.
I learned so many things.
It's great for you guys to watch. It's hard on the fenders, and that's the great thing about this particular racetrack. And I think the double file restarts really change the dynamic of road racing in general, because there is so much happening on the restarts, and this particular racetrack is so narrow, and you know, you wind up qualifying first, and you wind up on the left side, and you want to be on the right side. Because of the fact that, you know, the second corner is kind of the key to getting up the hill, and you want to be on the inside. So it's a very unique racetrack. The restarts get rough, and you know, the great part about this place is the fact that, you know, a few dented insides, or you know, a caved in nose or bent in fender doesn't end your day here. It's just part of the race.
I was looking at the history of this race and some of the weird things that have happened in 1991 when Ricky Rudd won and got the checkered flag. And then they black flagged him and gave the race to Allison, Davey Allison. And they gave him a 5-second penalty or something, and he had to go to the pit. And they stopped doing that. They don't do that since then. But how involved should NASCAR be in, you know, what happens on a road course where people do something intentional, and yet that's road course racing, and where they let you fight it out?
Well, I think, you know, a lot's changed since 1991. And you know, I think as you look at the way that things go now, it's much more methodical and laid out, and as to how they officiate, and the things that they do are, you know, somewhat predictable. You know, there are some unique circumstances that work themselves through different races. But, you know, I think as you look at rough driving, and unless it's way over the top, NASCAR is pretty much going to let you handle things yourself. And you know, that's part of the mystique of what goes on when something like that happens, is when is the payback coming? Is there a payback? Who's mad at who? And you know, that's what people show up to see. So I'm glad they stay out of stuff like that.
You like it that way?
Yeah, I think that's part of the game. You know, if somebody runs you over, and you know, they never really know if you're going to get them back, or, and if you run somebody over, you never really know how they're going to act. And you know, that's kind of the risk reward, and especially with this playoff system, is how many people do you want mad at you when you head into week one of the playoffs, or week two of the playoffs, or week three? And, you know, you look at Kenseth and Joey Logano, it didn't work out well. You know, that the risk versus reward, you know, from Joey spinning Matt out in Kansas that year probably cost him, you know, a chance to run a championship, at probably his best shot at winning the championship. So there's a lot to navigate, and as far as the risk reward of what you do and don't do, especially this time of year. But it's hard to hide here. You're going to get run into by somebody, and you're going to run into somebody. It's just, you know, how it all plays out through that particular race and where you meet again.
Kevin, what did you think of NASCAR's decision yesterday not to use the new aero package anymore this year?
Yeah, I think that's a really good decision. You know, I think as you look at all the logistics of trying to, you know, turn the tide of, it's like putting your house up for sale, and you know, you most likely you're not going to sell it the next day and have the money in the bank. It takes time to be able to put your house up for sale, you know, have the loan paid off, and find somewhere new to live. So, you know, that's just a small example of something that's real life. And when you look at these teams and the things that are already laid out, money that's already been spent on research and development, you know, I think we could make that package better than what it was at the All-Star race. And in order to do that, you just have to have a well-laid-out plan so that you just don't jump into somebody and then have to change something else. How do we get into what everybody thought was a, you know, a great race at the All-Star race? How do you get into that and make it better than it was, and not have to change the spoiler size, or change you know, the plate size, or change a tire? Is Goodyear really prepared? And you know, I think as you look at you know, a lot of talk about Indianapolis and running that package, and you know, the first thing that everybody says is, oh, you know, it'd probably be a good race. And the second thing that everybody says, I wonder if the tire will work for Goodyear. Well, there's already a test plan. There's already been money spent on You know, logistics and tires are already built, and there's just there's so many things that affect something else that it just takes a lot in order to do something like that, because you're not talking about a splitter or a spoiler. You're talking about a whole body. You're talking about a new aero package. You're talking about a new engine package. And we're already talking about saving, you know, $2,500 for a set of tires per team and trying to help budget. So, you know, if you go and spend what would probably cost, you know, I'm not even going to put a number on it, but it'd be in the millions as to what it would cost each team to turn that program around. The engine bills are going to go way up. So, you know, if you started a season with a plan to say we're going to do this, the teams can take their budget and budget around things and be able to be prepared. And NASCAR's in the same boat. Is, you know, there's going to be some things that pop up from an inspection side of things that nobody thought of. And, you know, at that point, it's going to be, okay, this guy's doing this and nobody else has figured it out and we need to change the rule, but we already made the rules. So you got to be really careful about diving into something and not thinking about the reverse effect on things. And really, you know, it's really about money at this particular point. And, you know, you're almost halfway through the season and everybody's getting ready for the playoffs in 10 weeks. And it's just it would be a massive, massive undertaking for the whole sport that could be right, could be wrong, because of the fact that you haven't run a full race and you don't really know for sure. And we had just a great all-star race and a lot of positive momentum. So let's make sure that I think it sounds like that they're just trying to make sure that the next time it's on the track, it's as good, if not better, than it was at the all-star race.
Kevin, given those concerns, is there any better way to find out how something's going to work by not doing it in actual race conditions?
No, there is no way. But it still costs money. Yeah, and you know, it's real easy to say we should do this, but that's real money. You know, it's real. This is real world stuff that, you know, everybody agreed to go to the All-Star race and say let's do something different, let's try something different, let's see how it goes, and everybody liked the outcome. But you know, that was play money compared to the money that it would take to spend to do it real life, because I don't consider the All-Star race real life. A real life is a points-paying race that everybody would show up and go to the wind tunnel and spend time working on their cars and put them through the CFD and make sure that they're making downforce. And the engine guys are gonna go in and they're gonna try to develop motors that make the most horsepower. And that's what you want to see everybody on the racetrack with. So yeah, it was a great product and great event at the All-Star race, but it just takes time to do things right.
Kevin, you go to
only if you keep writing bad stories.
Nailed it.
Kevin, you go to Chicago next week, and that won't be a playoff race for the first time in memory. Will that change much for you, or do you think about going there just as a regular season race, so to speak?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been to Chicago in the middle of July, you know, and I think as you look at, that racetrack in particular, the asphalt's really wore out, and you add, you know, some high temperatures to go along with it. It should be a really fun race with the cars sliding around. And, you know, I think as you look at that racetrack and you look at the things that have happened there and not being in the playoffs this year, and look, you got to go to places that support the sport. And I'm glad to see that we're going to go to Las Vegas and that city's going to embrace what we do. And, you know, Bob asked if we had time. Sometimes you have to promote the sport correctly and do the things that it takes from an event standpoint. And it's not all about the cars. You know, the racing is, you know, we've had some great races and you know, every race is not great. Every football game is not great. Every baseball game is not great. It's just a different time in the world as far as how people absorb things, where they go to watch things, and you know, I think it's time to concentrate more on the events and more on the atmosphere and more on the things that happen. Everybody loves coming to Sonoma. 10 years ago, nobody wanted to come to a road course. Everybody hated coming to a road course. Everybody thought that they stunk. And all of a sudden, you come to Sonoma, and it's an event. You know, this is an event that is a destination event. All the sponsors show up to. And these are the types of events that, honestly, nobody cares about the race, except us. But everybody has a hell of a time when they come to Sonoma, because they can bring their wife, they can bring their friends. The sponsors all come. We have big events, and you know, it could be the best race that you've ever seen at Sonoma. It might be the worst race that you've ever seen, but everybody's going to have a great time. And that's really what needs to be concentrated on. And my point in all this is, you know, we're going to go to Las Vegas this year. I've seen the marketing plan and the things that NASCAR has planned and the racetrack has planned to activate as we go into that market to sell tickets and draw awareness and work on those local TV ratings and work on the local crowd and all the things that come with that. And, you know, Chicago had just become a little bit stale and the crowd wasn't what it needed to be. And I think when you show up to Las Vegas, it's going to be a great way to start the playoffs, and it's a great city to do that in.
You know, the headline is going to be Kevin Harvick says nobody cares about the race. That's not, I mean, do you want to clarify that?
I do. I care about the race.
No, what I'm saying is you can come to this particular race and you know, a lot of the people that come to this particular race are not here for the race. They're here for a good weekend with their husband or wife or son or daughter. Or they're part of a group, and they're like, "Man, I can go to Wine Country, and we can go to a race." And then they're gonna hear all those cars come down the front stretch, and they're gonna drop the green flag, and they're gonna say, "Wow, I've never seen anything like this." And you know, they're gonna see cars spinning through the dirt and running into the tire barriers, and they're gonna watch five guys change the tires and fill the thing up with, you know, 20 gallons of fuel in 14 seconds. Well, you know, and it's an event like they've never seen before. But when you go to these events, 50% of the crowd doesn't care about the race because of the fact they've never been there. But when they leave, 50% of those 50% are going to say, "Man, when's the next one?" And that's what you want to leave them with, is having a great weekend. You know, people, there are a lot of people that care about the race, but there are people that, you know, come to the race that think they're just coming for a great time in Sonoma.
Yeah.